Thank you, sir. Before we enter the Word tonight, I just want to call you blessed. I want to decree that you have hearing ears,
yes.
Seeing eyes. You have a spirit that's alive and quickened by truth, joyfully receives of God's presence. You are the blessed of the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, praise team. In just a moment, the ushers will be returning, and there are opportunities to serve in the ushering department, Minister of Valor, if God speaks to you about that. The notes that they're going to put in your hand tonight are taken from Romans chapter 4 and 5. And I know we're in the Kingdom of God series, but tonight I want to depart from that for a moment, because it is hard to partake of the full benefits of being in the kingdom when you don't understand the very key that opened the door to the kingdom for you. And so tonight, we're going to talk about one of the keys that opened the kingdom to you. For a long time, there's been discussion in theological circles of when Jesus said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom," and people go, "What are the keys to the kingdom? What are the keys?" The first key to the kingdom is faith. It is the very first key to the kingdom. And until you master the ability to use this key, the other keys of the kingdom will not fall into sequence. What you have in your hands tonight are different translations of the same passage. And I'd like you to turn to page 2, and we're going to go backwards. This is the Weymouth translation to the Bible. It blesses my heart that many of you have begun to purchase other translations of the Bible. And whether you start going individually, picking up translations, or you find it easy, you can go to the internet and you can find 8 translation parallel New Testament. It has 8 translations of the same page, and so you can read from the Jerusalem Bible, the Amplified, the King James, the English Standard, all in one operation. You can usually pick them up on Amazon for about $14, $15, and $3 shipping, $4. It's a little heavier than some of the books, but $3 or $4 shipping, $14, $16 for 8 translations of the New Testament, and it's worth it to sit down and read in the different translations. Now, in that, you will not find Weymouth and Moffat and some of those. Those you've got to go and find in the, track them down online and find those translations. But some people who are more competent looking at a computer screen, you can go. There's several different sites that you can go from Gateway and others that have upwards of 40 translations of the Bible at one site where you can just read them online. I don't like to read on the computer. I like things where I can write on it and scribble on it and highlight and underline. And I just get tired of cleaning my screen off. Whiteout ruins a good iPad. We pick up on page 2 of your notes, the Weymouth translation. It's not Weymouth, it's Weymouth. "Nor did he," we're speaking of Abraham, "in unbelief stagger at God's promise, but became mighty in faith." Why are we going to this? Because this translation first when the other two appear before it? Because in my spirit I was checked to start here. And I asked Daddy why, and he said, the first line deals with the key, the first key that I gave you to the kingdom that unlocks the treasures is faith. But he became mighty in faith giving glory to God. Do you realize this? We sing songs, give God the glory and all that, and I've talked to you about that. But I want you to get this. If you look up different Bible commentators and stuff, I guess Thayer is the one that most accurately describes or most graphically describes God's glory. And Thayer describes it as the favor of God, glory. Now, you know what glory is? It's God's manifest presence. And when you are reading this about it brings God glory, or he was giving God glory by being strong in faith, I want you to get this. God can't show up in a space that faith hasn't given him entrance. Now, he can show up in judgment, but he cannot show up in his true character and nature in a space that he has not been given presence. And so in this, the writer is opening to you the key of relationship that Abram had with God. Because understand this, Abram, not saved, not filled with the Holy Spirit, not called to the ministry, not even able to access God's forgiveness, had a relationship with God in his sin. When God showed up, Abraham did not have on a medal for honoring his wife. He did not have a medal on for honoring his word. Are you listening, church? A lot of medals he didn't have. But he had the ability at a time when men transacted the sale of their herd like this, where they would cut themselves and let their blood mingle, and that would enslave them and their children to that person that they had entered into a blood covenant with. Because a man's word was his bond, and if his word was no good, nothing else is. I still like to do business with people that you can just tell them what you're going to do. And if they have to have a contract, I know they're not trustworthy. Because the very fact that they have to have a contract to deal with me tells me I've got to have something bigger than me to hold you to. Nor did Abraham, in unbelief, stagger at God's promise. All right, God, you said that. That don't catch me off guard at all. I can hang with that. But he became mighty in faith. How did he become mighty in faith? Taking God at his word. Giving glory to God. Giving glory. What is another way of saying that then? He gave place to God in his life through operating in faith. Because glory is God's manifest presence. And God not only was manifest in Abraham's presence, God let Abraham fix him barbecue and biscuits. Now imagine having a relationship with somebody, not just so that you can say, okay, go ahead and paint the house, that'll be fine. I'll take that car. Okay, you sold me, I'll buy those aluminum pots and pans you're going door to door with. No, he and God talked. He accepted God's word. And then he and God had dinner. Now, that's a shock to some people in some churches, because for them, God is some ethereal ooze someplace in space, but God is a real person with real teeth that can handle barbecue. Pastor, how do you know it was barbecue? He roasts a calf on the fire. What is that? And he made a cake in his hand. So God had barbecue and biscuits with Abraham. And they talked and fellowshipped. But what I want you to get here is, he gave glory to God, not, Oh, God, you're wonderful. You're great. No, no, no. He gave God a place to work in, because faith opens up the door for God to enter into your situations. So he gave God a place to work, because until a human gives God a place to work, he only has two arenas he can work in. Not because he can't, but because he has limited himself with his word.
Right.
And outside of those two arenas, he can't act in the earth without a man.
Right.
And he tells you in the scriptures, he sought for a man and could find none.
Right.
But he found one in Abraham. Out of all of the men on the face of the earth, he found one man who so understood taking somebody's word that God could deal with him and say, here's my word, and he would go, okay, we're hooked. Let's eat. He did not stagger at God's promise. God walks into your life and says, I'm going to make you a billionaire tomorrow. Will you stagger? God says, I'm going to give you the ability to walk on the water. Would you stagger? God says, what is your wildest dream? I'm going to let you fly. Beginning tomorrow, you'll have the ability to fly. Will you stagger? Oh, will you go, yes, God. I'm going to get myself something flashy to wear so they can see me streaking across the sky. I don't want to be up there in bib overhauls and brogans. And some of y'all don't even know what either one of those are. But became mighty in faith. What made Abraham mighty? His ability to simply accept God at his word. And that gave God a place to work in the earth. He gave God a platform, or gave glory to God. And being absolutely certain that whatever promise he is bound by, he is able to make good. Do you see God that way? When God says, with his stripes you were healed, he supplies all of your need? Or do you look for a way to keep God out of your finances, out of your health, out of your ministry, out of your thing, by trying to figure a way to make it work rather than just accepting, God, you said it, therefore it has to work? How do you know you're healed? The word says so. Well, I've been feeling a little. It is not God plus. It is God alone.
Amen.
For this reason, also his faith was placed to his credit as righteousness. What puts you in right standing with God? Trust. And what is faith but trust? Because Abram trusted God, it put him in right standing. Now listen, the man has still got a problem with lying about his wife. He's still got a problem with not keeping her covered. I mean, what kind of guy lets somebody take his wife? Oh, no, she's my sister. You got her. Girl, you can't blame me. It's your fault. You're too good looking. Everybody wants you, and I can't hold back. No. Nor was the fact of its being placed to his credit put on record for his sake only. It was for our sake too. God is saying to us today, if you can trust me to the degree that you'll take my word on it, you give me a place to operate in your life, and that will make you in right standing with me. Because what makes you in right standing is not a list of I don't smoke and I don't chew, I don't date girls who do. No. What makes you in right standing with God? Well, I abstain, I abstain, I abstain. No, no, no. Abraham wasn't abstaining from nothing but unbelief. And he gave God a place to work. He brought glory to God. That's not some mystical thing. He gave God a platform to operate in the earth through his life and to show himself mighty on Abraham's behalf, that all of us for 4,000 years have been able to look back and say, God is faithful. Abraham proved it. Well, why should it be that we have to look back to find a man that proved it? Why can't we be the man or woman that proves? You don't have to have a great anointing if you make place for God to show up, who is the anointing. Someone trying to find fault with Catherine Kuhlman said, well, she's not that great. She just listens to that angel that whispers to her and says, there's a person sitting in the balcony over there that's being healed of cancer. And all she does is just repeat what they say. And they thought they were pointing out her flaw. Like, she's got to have this gift and this talent. What was Abraham's gift? He believed God, and because he believed God, he gave God a place to operate in his life, which gave God entrance to the earth. And 4,000 years later, we're still looking back to the place Abraham made for God. Now, the devil may be lying to you about a situation, a crisis, or something that had occurred in your life, and I want you to get this. Whatever it is the devil is telling you is a stage or a platform that God wants to operate in your life. But Pastor, I'm broke. Wherever the situation is bad, Abraham was childless. He was unable to perform. His wife was unable to bear. And into the midst of his inability to produce, New Testament scripture speaks of our infirmity. What is it? There's a New Testament passage that actually refers to helpeth our infirmity. What is it? The Spirit helpeth our infirmity when we don't know how we should pray as what? Did Abraham know how to pray about a kid? The word infirmity there is a bad translation. And most people, when they read it, they hear sickness, right. Infirmity. Right. The word infirmity, the word translated infirmity, it literally means inability to produce. The Holy Spirit helps us in our inability to produce and talks to God for us if we have the kind of heart that says, God, I want to be open to whatever you want to do in my life. Not, God, I want to be this. I want to do that. I want to have this. I want to go here. When you leave a blank piece of paper in front of God to write on and not fill in the blanks. God, I've already answered all the questions. I just need you to fill in the blanks. No. Abraham had no idea how he could be a father. In fact, his body told him, you can't. His wife's body told him, we can't. But God said, I can, and he said, okay. So when you can't pay your bills, God wants to step into that inability to produce and demonstrate how kingdom finance works through your lack of money. But if we are consistently trying to figure out how we can improve our living standard to get to where we need to be, God can't work because we're riding the horse. And if we're in the saddle, God won't mount up with us. God doesn't ride double. But God will ride that horse of debt for you, and he'll ride it into the ground if you'll let him. Faith, before long, will be placed to the credit of us also, who are believers in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, what is this saying here? What does this verse say to us? Wake up and understand this. The greatest opposition to faith that was ever in the world was not at creation. It was at the resurrection, when all of religion, all of the Roman Empire, all of the Jewish system of rule and reign, the kingdom of darkness, Satan, Lucifer, all the demons of darkness were all arrayed together against it. And when all of the forces of nature and earth were arrayed against it, God's word still raised him. And so this verse is saying, understand how the kingdom works. Take God's word and unlock your future with it. Take God's nature and unlock your future with it. Take God's promise and unlock your provision with it, whether it's mental, spiritual, physical, financial. Amen. Who was surrendered to death because of the offenses we had committed. Why was Jesus crucified? Now, most people get the first part of this verse. Brian, if you're talking to somebody, and why did Jesus go? He carried our sins. And so, in essence, his death on the cross signaled the price of our sins being paid. But most of religion stops right there, Sister Willie. They just stop right there. He went to the cross, he paid our sins. I've heard preachers, I heard one recently trying to sell an Easter Sunday. He didn't have enough sense to know it's Resurrection Sunday, not Easter Sunday. There is no such thing in God as Easter Sunday. Easter is a transliteration of Istar, which was the mother of Nimrod and was a false resurrection. The true believer understands there's no such thing as Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrection. But if the devil can change the name, then you'll celebrate bunnies and colored eggs, because it's not Resurrection Sunday, it's Easter Sunday. Well, what's Easter Sunday? Well, it's lilies and rabbits and eggs and get your Easter frock on. And now get this two-part equation. Yeshua was surrendered to death because of the offenses we had committed. Going all the way back to the opening offense, unbelief. That Adam committed the sin of unbelief. And was raised to life because of the acquittal secured for us. The second part of the equation is his resurrection proves that we're acquitted and we're accepted. You see, it's not enough that he paid the price for your sins. Let me explain it to you this way. Tammy robs a bank, and she goes to jail. She gets out of jail. What has she done? She has paid for her sins. But what if the governor gives her a pardon, and it's as if it never happened? She is acquitted of that, and it no longer can ever be used against her again. And she is restored to all of her citizenship, because with a record, she can't vote, she can't carry a gun, there's all these things she can't do. There's places she can't work because she has a record. But if she's pardoned, all of that goes away. And so this one verse is saying, not only did he pay the price of your sins in his death, but in his resurrection, you were acquitted of all charges. Now let's go back to page one. God's Word. Now we have God's approval by faith. How do I have God's approval? By accepting his approval as an accomplished fact. You see, I have to believe that I'm approved for me to be approved. How do I get approved? I believe I am. If I believe I am, I am. Now, we have God's approval by faith. We have peace with God because of what our Lord Jesus has done. We have peace with God because of what he's done. Through Christ, we can approach God and stand in his favor. So not only do I have acquittal, I have entrance into God's presence. Why? The sin that separated me, the warfare of unbelief that separated me, no longer exists. I have peace with God, and I can come into his presence. But I want to say something to you. Here's a kingdom key. Winnie, not only can you come into God's presence, but now, by faith, God can come into yours. And that's what I was talking about earlier tonight. Rosie, we don't fine-tune to hear that. Not only can I come before God, but now if I'll be patient. Was Abraham sitting around going, Sarah, is it time for God to get here yet? What time did he say he was coming? No. Because he, out of all the people that God looked at, the eye of the Lord goes to and fro through the earth to see who speaks of his goodness. God searches the earth looking for a man. Understand this. Sean, God is looking for you tonight. God just shows up without an appointment. Why? Because he saw that Abraham had the ability to believe him. And when he showed up, he didn't go, Abraham, can you believe me? Abraham, can you trust me? Abraham, no. Abe, I've been watching your life and you're dealing with us. And I can see by the way you deal with others that you and I can deal. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is the life you're living right now showing God that you are open for a visit? Well, Pastor, if he ever shows up, I'm going to change. No. Abraham wasn't sitting around going, if God ever proved to me he's real. No, he proved by his character that he was a person who could be trusted and who could trust. So we don't have a chapter of inquisition. Abraham, are you a good man? Abraham, can you take me at my word? Abraham, no. He had proved already as God observed him, because the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in the earth. And God's looking for people he can trust. It says he's looking for those who will stand in the hedge and make up the gap between God and man. Do you, by your daily life, show that you care about people? Well, no. Then don't expect a visit from God. Why? God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. So, resurrection bought not our forgiveness of sins. That was paid for in his death. What did his resurrection buy for us? Reinstatement to God's presence. Through faith, we can approach God and stand in his favor. So we brag because of our confidence that we will receive glory from God. Asia, from now on, it should be a part of your conversation. I am expecting God to show up in my daily walk. Can you say that? Well, how come you're not? I am expecting God to show up in my daily walk. Abraham didn't have an appointment blocked up. Well, you know, it's 3:15, I'm going to sit down and wait for God. No, God just showed up. And he wasn't ready for the visit. But understand this. If you're walking in a walk expecting an answer to the situation of your life, God will provide that answer. But that's not all. Not only am I expecting God, we brag when we are suffering. Now, when I read this, I said, can you get it? And so I answered myself, well, I'll read it again to make sure. We brag because of what? We brag when we are suffering. What are we bragging on? I'm suffering? No, no, no. He didn't say we brag on our suffering. We brag when we're suffering. Because we know this light affliction is but, like Paul said, is but for a moment. Because the affliction didn't come to prove I'm weak. It came so I would have an opportunity to prove how strong I am. We brag when we are suffering. We know that suffering creates endurance. Wait a minute, what? I got through that headache. I'll get through this throat ache. I got through that parking meter bill. I'll get through this traffic ticket. Why? Everything that comes to stop us from being who we're supposed to be is a challenge that our faith should overcome. Oh, no, I'm coming down with something. No, no, no. Something is trying to bring me down, but we brag in that suffering. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. This thing just came for me. Have you ever seen an idiot walk into the gym and walk over to the weights and go, oh, no, 25-pound barbells. Next, they're going to bring out 50. No, you go, as soon as I get these 25-pounders down, I'm going for them 50s. You see, the devil has subtly slipped into the life of the believer and removed that ability to brag when suffering comes. God, how did this happen? I've been tithing. I've been going to church. I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. How could this happen? No, no, no. We know how this could happen. Develop a new mentality, Rob. You get up in the morning, the car doesn't want to start. Do you go, oh, no. Now I'm going to have to buy a battery. I'm going to have to get a mechanic. Another bill, just what I didn't need. Or do we go, wait a minute. I should be on my way to work. Therefore, this is trying to stop me from my appointed rounds. Therefore, it's not of God. It's not a blessing. Therefore, God thinks I can overcome this trial today. God thinks I can overcome this trial today. God said in his word, he will not let it happen, but what he makes a way of escape, or one translation says best, a way to climb up out of it. So when hell knocks on your door, Bob, what's the first thing that a believer should do? They should whip out their key to the kingdom and go, how am I going to overcome this thing? Not, God, how could you let this happen to me? You walk out and there's a flat on your car. Don't go, dear Lord. I prayed over those tires that they'd make it one more week until my income tax return comes. No, you go, wow. Now, if everything was working the way it should be, I would have come out, there would have been air in that tire, and I'd be on my way to my next appointment. Therefore, God, what is the purpose of this delay? Is there someone you want me to witness to? Is there someone that needs to see me overcome this flat tire? One of the great occurrences in my life came back in 1984 when someone came to me and said, Pastor Jim, I've been watching you for 2 years now. Now I'm ready to believe God for my healing. Wait a minute. That catch you off guard. Someone's been watching you for 2 years to see how you handle things, how you deal with things, and now because of the life you're living, they're ready to believe God. But you see, this says to me, God said to us in his word, Robert, when this happened to Abraham, it happened as a lesson for us too. As an example to us, Abraham had a rotten, horrible situation. In a time where it was believed that if you didn't have children, you were cursed by God, God shows up and Abraham doesn't say, how did you let this happen? How come you didn't give me a woman that could produce? No. He was willing to hang out with God before God made a promise. God showed up and said, I'm Jehovah, Lord of hosts. And you're Abram, father of many people groups. And he said, okay. Can you take God at his word? Well, Pastor, if he ever spoke to me, I would. He has, and you have it contained in your new covenant. If you can't accept his word that's written down, somebody shows up at your house and goes, here, Tara, this is a contract with First National Bank. And you go, well, if the president will come over and tell me. What's the president going to say? If my contract isn't good enough for you, I ain't coming over. Rescind the contract. And that's what happens in people's lives every day. We're saying, if God would show up and tell me I'm healed, if God would show up and tell me how I'm blessed, how I'm prospered, and God is saying, I gave you a written contract. We know that suffering creates endurance. If I can handle a headache, I can handle a backache. If I can handle a backache, I can handle cancer. If I can handle cancer, I can handle a death threat. And endurance creates character. When did Abraham become strong in faith? Before he believed God or after? I asked God one day, why did it take 25 years for Abraham to see the fulfillment of the promise? He said he was becoming strong in faith. Had he caved any time in that 25 years, he would not have been the example. And so I learned something back in 07 and 08. I really wanted, when they said, you've had a heart attack and something's got to change, I really wanted, because that was Friday night, the doctors came in and said, we've got to rush you into surgery tomorrow. And I said, no, I'm going to pray and talk to God about this. And if I get an answer from God, that's the way I'm going. If not, you can cut me up Monday. But until then, I need 3 days to make sure I can hear from God. And one day the Lord said to me, if you had gotten healed Friday night when you understood that you were having a heart, because up until then I wouldn't even concede to it. No, I don't know what's going on, but I cannot be sick. And that Friday night they said all the symptoms were here. I'd got to the point I couldn't breathe anymore. And they said, you've been in a heart attack for 5 days. And I recognize, okay, that's what's been going on for 5 days that I've been standing against. I've been having a 5-day heart attack. And the Lord said this to me. He said, if I'd raised you up that moment you believed, where would your testimony be? And then he backed me up. What if Monday, when the first symptoms first showed up, it had been gone? Where would you be? But after 7 months, going through all that you went through, yeah. Are you listening, church?
Yes. Yes.
And being strong in faith, was he strong before God showed up, or was he strong after 25 years of not giving up on the promise God gave him?
Man, that's good.
Now, at this point, God said to say this to people. There's some of you that's got a word that's 25 days old, 25 weeks old, 25 months old. And some of you got a word that's 25 years old. Have you remained faith going, I got whatever it is God told you? If God told you 5 years ago you've got a ministry and you haven't seen it yet, are you still saying, I have the ministry of, or I have been given the ministry of, or God has called me the ministry of, or you go, well, I thought I was called. I used to believe that, but now I just don't know. How did Abraham become strong in faith? By standing 25 years. And he didn't suddenly become strong in faith when he heard the baby cry or held in his arms. He became strong in faith by not giving up. And there's things God has said to you that will prove whether or not you have character with your kid. Because if Abraham had got a kid the next day, he would have had character. Yeah. Because he didn't have character
right.
When God...
Right. That's good. That's good. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
But can we go back to that word that God first spoke into our life? Your music will circle the globe and change the lives of multitudes. All right, God, I have a ministry of music that will circle the globe and change the lives of many. Or, well, I know that's what they said. Every time some preacher comes in, they say that, but nothing's changed. You see, get this, and for everyone I'm talking to in here, I want you to listen. Because, Scott, what I'm saying is powerful right now that God showed me in this key to the kingdom. Why aren't we seeing the kingdom of the earth? Because we're not using this first key, the initial key. God said, I'm changing your name. And so at this point in the sermon, I'm to tell you, are you willing tonight to change your name? I am the pastor of a congregation of faith-filled people. Well, I know I had the call 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 50 years ago, but it's never seemed to work out. There's been all these problems. I am an apostle because God told me that I was called to the apostolic ministry, and I am raising up churches. Well, what are you raised up this for? I raised up my faith.
Amen.
To change my name. God said to you, you're a successful business person. Out of your business, I'm going to bless many ministries. Then are you willing to change your name now? For 25 years, he went by Father of Many People Groups because the word translated nations is also translated people groups. That's what he's saying. He wasn't going to raise up Iraq, Iran, Egypt. No, he's going to raise up many people groups. And he did, 12 tribes.
Amen.
But for 25 years, he was willing to call himself what there was no physical evidence of. And God is saying to this congregation tonight, something that was said Sunday in a word that was given to this congregation. God has called this people and placed a purpose in this people. So, Jerry, are you willing tonight to change your name to what it was God told you He was going to use you in and do through you? Can you say, I have a ministry of music that's circling the globe and changing multitudes? Or was it impacting multitudes? I don't remember. You remember because of your word. Impacting multitudes. Can you change your name to I am a successful businessman financing ministries that are serving kingdom purpose the world over?
Amen.
When you ain't got quarters to put in the penny march. How did Abraham become strong in faith? The same way Raymond's going to become strong in faith. Taking God at his word and saying, I'm the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
When Brother Brad said to y'all, I came into Jim's room and he's laying in the bed barely able to move, and he stuck out his hand and said, help me celebrate the victory. And he's like, can you call yourself the healed of the Lord when death itself is breathing over your shoulder? Can you call yourself, I am one of the richest believers in the city of Austin?
Amen.
Why? Well, pastor's been decreeing it over me for over 3 years.
Amen.
Going on 4 years, he's been decreeing it over me. That Pastor Jim pastors the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Whatever God has said to you that you're going to do, can you tonight make the decision? I'm going to grab hold of this initial key of the kingdom. Because Abraham's testimony of greatness didn't come when he had dinner with God. It didn't come when God gave him a promise. It came when he stood through everything that tried to oppose it until the promise was fulfilled. And character creates confidence. I'll tell you this, Brian. At the end of 25 years, Abram could say, I'm the father of many people groups, a whole lot better than he could the first day God told him that. And he went and told, you know, I'm the father of many people groups. Sarah busts out laughing. Yeah. Hey, when you're pushing 90 years old and Abram comes in the door saying, hey, Mama. All because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has, past tense, been given to us. What Holy Spirit? The one that saves, that heals, that delivers, that resurrects, that empowers, that anoints, that separates unto God for purpose and call to be used of Him. God's giving us a key tonight. And He's saying, Suzanne, will you change your name? I am the healed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am a servant of the Most High God in full-time service for the King. No, you're still working at Woolworth. Do they still have Woolworth? Walmart. Okay. Count from 1 to 60, and Walmart just made $36 million. If somebody, if sometime, look at it this way. At the right time, while we were still helpless, remember what we said earlier? In our infirmity, in our inability to produce, Christ died for the ungodly people. Finding someone who would die for a godly person is rare. Maybe someone would have the courage to die for a good person. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. This demonstrates God's love for us. Say this to yourself: God loved me on my worst day. On my meanest moment, on my most godly time, God loved me. Now let's go to Young's literal translation, the same passages. And if the promise of God did not stagger in unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, having given glory to God, he gave God a place to operate. And having been fully persuaded that what he hath promised, he is able also to do. Wherefore also it was reckoned to him to righteousness. And it was not written on his account alone, but it was reckoned to him, but also on ours, to whom it is about to be reckoned, to us believing on him who did raise up Jesus Christ our Lord out of the dead. Pastor, you read that wrong. It said it's about to be reckoned. It's about to be reckoned on you when you keep the key in the lock until it opens. Abraham kept it in the door 25 years until it opened. How long do you have to keep it in the door? I don't know how long it is, but I know this. The moment you change your name to what God has promised you, what God has said to you, what God has placed in you, you put the key in the lock. How long you have to keep it there gets shorter every time you affirm that you are what He said you are. Who was delivered up because of our offenses. He was delivered up on the cross for our sin and was raised up out of the dead because of our being declared righteous. The Lord said this and it just exploded in me. He said, He went to the cross for your lack. He went to the throne for your abundance. And then the Lord said this, do you realize that He could not raise Him from the dead until you were accepted as righteous? He went to the cross for our sins and was placed up on the tree. But He was placed up on the throne for our right standing. He couldn't be put on the throne until God had acquitted us and put us in right standing.
Amen.
Because Him sitting down on the throne said, you're forgiven, you're cleansed, you're righteous, you're family, you're acquitted of all charges.
Amen.
The devil tries to cover up resurrection. The devil tries to keep it out of the public persona to the point that the very day we celebrate on has had its name changed to Easter. Don't you ever come to me and talk to me about Easter Sunday. I don't want to hear that lie because it denies the power of God to raise up my Redeemer and to acquit me of all sin. Having been declared righteous then by faith, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have been declared righteous by accepting that I've been declared righteous. I have ministry by accepting that I've been called a ministry, not because I can see my ministry, feel my ministry, touch my ministry. No, the fact that he has called me says it's a done deal.
Amen.
Through whom also we have access by the faith, not our faith, the faith, into this grace in which we have stood, and we boast on the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also boast in the tribulations, knowing that the tribulation doth work endurance, and endurance experience, and the experience hope, and the hope doth not make ashamed, because the love of God has been poured forth in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For in our being still ailing, Christ... Wait. For in our being still ailing... While we're still ailing, we're decreeing when we needed it and was still in it, he died for us to get us out of it.
Amen.
Now to the back page. Now I am making this as a declaration over you, and I want you to make it over yourself. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, I want you from this night forward, every time financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, any kind of lack tries to knock on your life, I want you to say, I have been blessed with the blessing that covers this. For 25 years, Abraham had to say, I have been blessed with a blessing that covers this inability to produce. It's in the heavenly places. My faith brings it into the present. Abraham's faith through those trying tribulations brought his child into manifestation. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. When the Lord gave me that verse, I said, now how does that fit tonight? And he said, when the trouble is knocking on your door, you've got to determine, I'm not going to listen to what the knock says. I'm going to listen to the bad report. I'm going to go back to Ephesians. He has already blessed me with the blessing that covers this need. Are you getting it, church?
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. Don't start going, I don't see how this could happen. I'm a tither. I don't see how this could happen. I teach Sunday school. I've been called to the ministry. I pray three times every day facing east. Jerusalem. Our Mecca. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So that the 25 years between putting the key in the lock and seeing the door open, you're saying, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know it's done. I am free from this inability to produce. Now, Psalms 105:37. Then he brought them out with silver and gold, and among his tribes there was not one who stumbled. I want you to get excited about this. God did not say, and he blessed them. Because people say, see, it's spiritual. It's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. No, God spelled it out. And he brought them out of the captivity that they had been in with silver and gold. Now, I want you to say what I'm saying about you. God is bringing you out of your captivity with silver and gold. Well, Pastor, they bankrupt Egypt. Well, maybe it bankrupt Egypt for them to get 400 years of back pay. But some of them was walking out with Grandpa Abraham's coins jingling in their pocket because they got 400 years back pay. A lot of people didn't live 400 years, not as slave labor. So they might have gotten 8 generations of pay. But say this, whatever bondage has held you back from your ministry, whatever bondage has held you back from your marriage, your children, your career, whatever it is that God has promised for you, God is bringing me out of this lack of performance with gold and silver. And among his tribes, there was not one who stumbled. Another reference says there was not one sick and not one feeble among them. Now, the Hebrew says we have a better covenant with better promises than they had.
Yes.
If God brought them out of their bondage with silver and gold, he's bringing me out of mine with a lot of silver and a lot of gold. And if he brought them out and there was not one sick and not one feeble among them, there was none of them stumbling along as they went. In other words, they were sure-footed.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't nothing for a stepper. I mean, they was coming out of there.
Amen.
Then say this, there's not one sick and there's not one feeble among me because I have a better promise and I have a better covenant. Better promises, better covenant, better health. Not only am I not sick and not feeble and not stumbling, but I'm walking the walk and talking the talk of a victorious child of the king. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the dread of them had fallen upon them. Better covenant, better promises. All of those who oppose me are being overtaken with a fear of me.
Yes.
Now that may be your relatives. It may be your friends.
Yes.
It may be your exes. All my exes live in Texas. That's why I'm in Tennessee. No. There are people that don't like you. There are people that want to use you, want to enslave you, want to keep you captive, want to keep you down because if you succeed, it's going to make them look bad.
Yes.
So right now, I want you to decree, the dread of the Lord has fallen upon all those who oppose me. Psalms 105, and he brought forth his people with joy. I'm happy about the fact he's bringing you forth with gold and silver, and you're happy to have it, not going, well, I don't want anybody to know I've got this because they might try and steal it. No, I want you to be flashy with it. I don't want you to walk in places and, you know, get your purse and hold something up. I want you to, you know, just reach in your pocket and...
Praise God. Amen.
I don't want you to get a handkerchief and put it over your mouth and act like, you know, everybody around you is sick and so you... you know, I don't want everybody to... Bless God. You know, you don't have to be with that. I don't have it. You don't have to have it. I don't care what it is. It ain't going around here.
Amen.
I got a better promise than that. There's not one sick and not one feeble in my house.
Amen.
And he brought forth his people with joy, for his chosen ones with a joyful shout.
Yeah.
Some of you are getting it. Some of you are still sitting there picking your nose. I am what God has promised me, so I'm changing my name. I have my needs met. I have my supply. The fear of God is upon all those who oppose me, and I am excited. He gave them also the lands of the nations that they might take possession of the fruit of the people's labor. Now say this, other folks without a covenant are working hard to bring me their wealth. I had a revelation this week on something the Lord Jesus said. The poor you will have with you always. And I said, God, why does that have to be? Are you ready?
Yes.
He said, somebody's got to be cooking dinner for you on Sunday while you're at church.
I heard that.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, well, bless God, it's Sunday, and I'm not going to go to no restaurant where they're sinning on the Lord's Day. Paul went down to the temple where they were offering sacrifice to the idols, and he said, I'll have some of that good barbecue. Y'all over here cooking every day. We only cook once a year. Go down to the temple, ain't nothing there. They cook once a year. You guys cooking every day. Get me some barbecue over here. But get this, there are people who don't have a covenant. And I was like, God, why, when the kingdom is established, are there still going to be those people here and not come into the kingdom? He said, somebody's got to raise your crops. Somebody's got to wash your car. Are you listening, church? The Lord Jesus told us, the poor you will have with you always. Ain't everybody going to get saved. Ain't everybody going to come under your covenant. So somebody's going to have to do your yard while you're worshiping God.
Amen.
Somebody's going to have to wash your car. Somebody is going to have to fix your meal so when you come out of church on Sunday, you got a good place to go eat. Because they still working for what you already got. And they want some of what you got, and they're willing to work for it. And you're willing to share it with them because they're going to do what you don't do. I don't work on Sundays.
That's right.
I rest on Sundays. It's the Lord's day.
Amen.
Here's $5. Fan me a little. Not a breeze in here. I trust tonight you're beginning to see yourself differently. Question number one. Are you from this night forward changing your name to whatever God has promised you?
Yes.
Number two, are you willing to keep the key in the lock until it's time to open it?
Amen.
If it's 25 minutes, 25 days, 25 weeks, 25 months, 25 years. But since you have a better covenant, it's not going to be 25 years.
Amen. That's right.
I have a better covenant with better promises. I'm not going to have to wait like Abraham did. He was my example of standing. I don't have to stand that long. Are you getting a hold of this church?
Amen.
I'm willing to change my name.
Amen.
I'm willing to embrace my future. I'm willing to start shouting and celebrating now that I'm coming out of this problem with gold and silver.
Yes.
Whatever has held me back and kept me in bondage, yes, I'm coming out of it.
Amen.
What happened in this place tonight to you is bigger than you can grasp at this moment. But I know people in the sound of my voice with the call of God on their life tonight, God took that call to another level and brought it to an expectancy that you haven't had previously. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. I don't want to raise up a spiritual giant in this congregation. I want a family of giants. I want a congregation of people. When somebody walks in the door and says, I need prayer, there's 18 people on, not everybody going, well, who's going to pray? I want, when the Holy Spirit begins to move in an assembly, everybody doesn't turn and look to see if God's going to use Ethel or not. Everybody is going, I'm ready, Lord. I sense your Spirit's moving. I'm ready to go with the flow. I call you the blessed of the Lord, and I decree that your new name is creating a new future and bringing about a new level of authority and ability in God, that you will not be the same from this night forward, but the glory of God is coming upon you because you're making room for His presence in your present and in your future. And you will not be denied what your covenant provides. Go with God, you're blessed.